This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to the show. It is Monday, June 1st. It is maybe AJ Brown Day. It could be any day, hopefully, that he gets traded. Welcome to the show as we talk about AJ Brown in wide receivers 10 through 18 in our consensus PPR rankings. That would be Rashee Rice, T. Higgins, Chris Olave, AJ Brown, Emeka Ebuka, Zay Flowers, Devontae Smith, Tetero McMillan, and Malik Nabers.
Pretty. Does that mean we're doing an emergency podcast later?
Very possible. Very possible. Be on the lookout. Holy cow. Can you believe AJ Brown was traded? How could we have prepared for this? To the Patriots, no less?
Wait, why don't when we talk about AJ Brown, like you pause, you reintroduce the show, you end the show there, and then you clip that as the emergency podcast for later.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it has to be an emergency podcast. Players like AJ Brown don't get traded every day, but also it may not happen. For a while, we don't know what the compensation is going to be. The recent report was that they weren't close, the Patriots and the Eagles. And what if it's a different team? Anyway, Heath, I just read those names, nine wide receivers, Rashee Rice, T. Higgins, Olave, A.J. Brown, Ebuka, Flowers, Devontae Smith, Tetero McMillan, Malik Nabers. How would you sum up this group? These wide receivers are what?
A very, very exciting, and in the case of many of them, also a little bit terrifying.
Who are the terrifying ones?
Well, obviously, Rashee Rice. I think you could be concerned about A.J. Brown. Emeka Ebuka's second half was a disaster. Tetero McMillan's offense might be also. Malik Nabers is not healthy. Garrett Wilson is on the Jets. Like, most of them.
Okay, yeah. Garrett Wilson actually is wide receiver 19 in the consensus rankings. We could talk about him at some point.
Oh, he's not supposed to be on the I'm not supposed to say that name.
No, it's fine. He's on the graphic. Thomas gave us the 10 wide receiver, which makes sense. 5 and 5 on the graphic here. I didn't say Garrett Wilson, but he is wide receiver 19 and he is on the Jets. And that is pretty scary. Dave, how would you characterize this group of receivers?
These are all wide receivers that have the potential to finish top 12 per game in PPR. They also have potential to finish somewhere between 20th and 99th in PPR points per game. Like there are some pretty gross floors for some of these guys, but these are the bulk of the number two wide receivers that you're going to be drafting in August.
And Jamie, your thoughts on Rice, Higgins, Olave, A.J. Brown, Ebuka, Flowers, Devontae Smith, Tetero McMillan, and Nabers?
I mean, I think they summed it up pretty well, but, you know, welcome to round 3 and 4.
Yeah. And if you hate this list, get ready to prioritize wide receiver and get one, or if not two, of those first nine names that we haven't mentioned, and you probably can figure out who those names are.
You know what? Let's do some impromptu fill-in-the-blank. Impromptu fill-in-the-blank. The safest wide receiver in this group is blank.
Higgins? Well, hold on. Is Rashee Rice suspended?
So Andy Reid said that the league gave no indication that there will be any suspension. Andy Reid basically said it's over. So
if he's playing 17 and he's a part of training camp, I'm okay saying Rice is the safest.
Look, Rice and Higgins have such poor injury track records. It's hard to say they're safe. I'll still say AJ Brown.
Oh man. Yeah. That's the thing is, based on my introduction, there's not a lot of guys that I'd say are like safe to be top 20 guys. If A.J. Brown's gone, then it may be Devontae Smith.
So Higgins.
That was the question, top 20?
No, or safe? Just safe.
Just safe. He didn't quantify it anymore.
Oh, gotcha.
Higgins has been, in the five seasons he's played, just counting the games with Burrow, Chase, Higgins, all playing normal snap shares, He's been top 15 in four of five. You know, he's been good enough to be a top 15 wide receiver, actually top 13 in four of those five seasons in terms of points per game.
Well, if we're just going to do counting the games where they played normal snap shares, then it's Rashi Rice.
Yeah. Unless you feel like recovering from knee injury in jail is not good for his
safety. I mean, I think if you're just looking at safe, it's probably Flowers and Smith because you know what their floors are.
Flowers and Smith.
I almost said Flowers, but it just disagree. Doesn't seem safe.
I mean, I don't know that you know what Flowers for. He was wide receiver 36 per game in 2024 with the same amount of targets, basically. Two fewer targets.
Right. The floor is 12 PPR points.
You know, so I don't know that we know that. Yeah, I guess. What do you think about that, Jamie? Take that at you.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's a good point, isn't it? he basically, Zay Flowers, two seasons in a row, had basically the same amount of targets. 1 year he was wide receiver 36 per game. Last year, I think he was like wide receiver 12 per game. So that's, I don't think he'll be 36th per game, but I don't know. That's kind of an interesting stat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, next fill in the blank. The most upside in this group belongs to, and just for the listeners at home that aren't looking at the list, it's Rashi Rice, Higgins, Olave, A.J. Brown, Abuka, Flowers, Devontae Smith, Tetero McMillan, Malik Nabers. Most upside in this group belongs to who, Heath?
Rice.
Go ahead, anybody, jump in there.
It's Rice, I mean, but I'll say Abuka just for another name.
If Malik Nabers is A-okay, he's got the most upside.
But that is
a big, slow running to first base. If
he looked like Adam trying to go to first base.
Yeah, I don't want to overrate that. It's a softball game 3 months before the season starts. I bet if you were playing football, I bet other people were running like that at the game, and I bet others that are healthier would probably.
I bet if he was playing football, he would not be playing football.
Right, he would not be playing football if that was the case. No, he would not be. Well, luckily, he doesn't have to practice for 2 months. It's June 1st.
Yeah, that's Malik Nabers who played in a.
Yeah, that was a great dynasty trade you made, by the way. Get rid of Malik Nabers.
Yeah, I told you. Charity softball game.
Who'd you end up with?
He hasn't made the picks yet, have you? Or was that was the big burger, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
I made the picks yet. Oh. But I ended up with, I don't remember. Picks 11, 12.
Such a good trade.
11, 12, and Michael Wilson and something next year too. Second rounder next year or something.
So he's going to have Michael Wilson, Jeremy Bernard, and Chris Brezel.
Maybe I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, last one. Oh, by the way, I think I could make a case for A.J. Brown having the most upside if he goes to the Patriots.
You can make the case for any of these guys have the most upside.
I don't know. You think so? I don't think.
Maybe not Zay Flowers.
I don't think Higgins has the most.
Everybody else, I think you can.
All right, last one is who has the lowest floor non-injury? Like these guys, they all play 17 games. Most likely to be a bust if they all play 17 games in this group. Jamie.
If they all play 17 games?
Yeah, most likely to be a bust. Performance bust.
I mean, I already made the case for Olave, so I'll say Olave.
Mm-hmm. What was your case for Olave?
His numbers with Rashid Shaheed without Rashid Shaheed last year.
When did you make that case? On Express, you mean, or did you do that today?
Yeah. Well, and on the site too, but that was one of the ones we discussed on Express.
Okay. So Olave for Jamie. Heath.
Most likely to be a bust. I'll say Abuka.
Okay. Dave?
I think Olave is probably the best one for that category.
Okay. Let's do some news and notes. By the way, we have a lot of other podcasts that you'll find very interesting. We got some soccer podcasts as we get ready for the World Cup. And fantasy baseball. Fantasy football today. Dynasty. Beyond the Box Score. Go to cbssports.com/podcasts and see the full list.
Can we discuss fantasy baseball for a second? Because you came on here a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, and was like, I have the greatest fantasy baseball team ever.
Did I jinx us?
And since then, half our team has gotten hurt, and we've lost, I think, two of our last three.
Yeah, I have that magic touch even when I'm not paying attention. But we're still the sixth seed right now. So in the playoffs, it started.
Yeah. Today. Yeah.
Oh, did Ellie got hurt, right? Ellie De La Cruz, did he get hurt?
He is day to day.
Yeah, that's a bummer. All right.
You didn't like that pick when I made it also.
I didn't?
No.
Well, there you go. I knew it. He's going to get hurt. All right. So your news and notes. It is June 1st. That means that the Eagles can spread A.J. Brown's cap hit over 2 years if they trade him going forward. So we'll keep an eye on that. DJ Moore says he's having some growing pains in the new offense with Buffalo, but he says it will be perfect later on. And Rashee Rice, we already gave you some news on Rashee Rice, but he's expected to be ready for training camp. He's recovering from this cleanup knee surgery, and Andy Reid said he doesn't expect the league to suspend Rice. Chris Olave gained 10 pounds of muscle. He plans on losing 5 of those pounds in training camp, but apparently he looks great. Green Bay head coach Matt LaFleur, here's some tight end news. Let's see, 4 tight end notes for you. Matt LaFleur hopes that Tucker Kraft is ready for the beginning of training camp, or at least early in training camp. Brock Bowers is 100% healthy. He's back to full speed. Sam Laporta, no rush to get him back on the field. He's still recovering from back surgery. Laporta could be ready for training camp. We'll see. And Jets rookie tight end Kenyon Sadiq had minor surgery for a hernia. He's expected to be ready for training camp. The Jets knew about this when they drafted him, but you'd like to see him have a regular offseason as a rookie. He'll have a little bit of a recovery, Kenyon Sadiq. More news here. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler thinks Deshaun Watson has a leg up in the quarterback competition for the Browns. Earlier, I think last month, we saw Mary Kay Cabot say that Watson is ahead in the competition. Christian McCaffrey, you know, talk about him getting some rest and fewer carries, whatever. He says that he'll rest during practice. And that's, you know, I think he seems ready for his workload, his big workload. Meanwhile, backup running back Isaac Garendo for the Niners, he tore his pec about a month ago. He should be back sometime in training camp, maybe toward the end of training camp. Miami wide receiver news. Omar Kelly of the Miami Herald says Malik Washington seems to be grasping the playbook faster than the other receivers. He also says that tight end Greg Dulcich has been a standout during OTAs.
He also said that Malik Willis hasn't looked good.
Oh, that's
nice. It's right. Early, and it's OTAs. We'll get an idea on him. I'll see him this week.
You going to lunch with him?
If he's up for it, sure. But otherwise, I'll just watch him practice.
Ben Johnson says he is buying Luther Burden stock right now. Not the first time he has praised Luther Burden this offseason. D'Amico Ryans praised second-year receiver Jaden Higgins. Malik Nabers played softball and didn't look good. Cam Scadaboo didn't look good running. Cam Scadaboo did a backflip. The Giants are working out Juju Smith-Schuster, Odell Beckham Jr., and Braxton Berrios today. They're one of their receivers.
Andrew Miller.
Interesting.
Wasn't he a relief pitcher?
Yeah, Andrew Miller, the lefty for the Yankees. Yeah. And
really tall, wasn't he?
Yeah. Who's Andrew Miller?
I think Anthony Miller is what.
Anthony Miller is still getting tryouts. Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
If Gunnar Olszewski, a return man for the Giants and a wide receiver, tore his Achilles, which is what is feared, he is the third Giants player to tear his Achilles this year. It's crazy.
That turf at MetLife.
Yeah, they're not there yet. Tennessee quarterback coach Shea Tierney wants Cam Ward to run the ball more this season. Ward averaged just 9.3 rushing yards per game if you remove week 18 when he played 5 snaps.
They seem to be going in a direction where they want him to do more of that. That was talked about earlier in the offseason. Ward put on weight, I think, to absorb more of that. And that's something that we've seen Brian Daboll lean into ever since he had his hands on Josh Allen back in the day. And I don't think he's going to turn into the next Josh Allen. But I wonder if he gets, you know, I think he averaged like 2.3 carries per game.
Yeah.
And Cam can run a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe 4 carries a game.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. The Vikings hired a new GM. It's Seattle assistant GM Nolan Teasley. And Garrett Wilson fired up about Frank Reich's offense. He seems optimistic right now. That's a good thing. He's not always been so happy with the direction of the Jets.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a break. And we have a tweet of the day when we come back. And then we'll get into wide receivers 10 through 18, including how this group did each of the previous 2 years. Was this a productive group, disappointing group, somewhere in between? Yeah, it's somewhere in between. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. Okay, it's time for our tweet of the day. Dave, you know Cousin Ernest.
I named him Cousin Ernest.
He's one of our long listeners. He says, Cousin Ernest here in Spurs land, Adam. Let's make a bet. Your Knicks versus my Spurs. I win, we co-host the league team. You win, I heckle Dan at the next tennis match or something else. I'm game. I'm in. because I think we're going to win. The Knicks are going to win the NBA Finals. It's going to be amazing. And you're on, Ernest. We'll co-host a team in your league. I don't know what to... I don't know if you guys have any ideas when the Knicks win what Cousin Ernest will owe me. I don't need him to heckle Dan at the next tennis match. I'm not going to win it anyway. But you think of anything. This was just my way of saying that I'm picking the Knicks to win the NBA Finals. Knicks in six. Heath, you're muted.
Ernest hosts a show if the Spurs win.
Okay, he can come on the show.
And you have to be there, and you have to watch, but you're on mute the whole time.
Oh, no, no. He's not yeah. hosting a full show. Maybe a segment.
Oh, yes, a full show.
Do you think that the Knicks are going to be like the underdog? I mean, they're the underdogs from a betting standpoint, but from like who everybody's cheering for. It's a really strange experience in South Florida at a Buffalo Wild Wings on Saturday night. I took my 16-year-old. He was cheering for the Thunder. I was cheering for the Spurs. And the place was packed. And there might have been two people in the whole building cheering for the Thunder.
Oh, everyone hates the Thunder. No, the Knicks would be the fan favorite if the Thunder were in. Because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander fell like 50 times during the NBA Western Conference Finals. They are a dirty, cheating, no good, lousy team. I wanted the Knicks to beat the Thunder, but I don't think they would have. No, I think the answer to your question is everybody loves Wemby and hates New York. So the Spurs are going to be the sentimental favorites.
And I'm just glad Jalen Brunson never falls down.
No, he does. And a lot of players do. Harden does and all that. But I forget which writer it was. He went back. He watched all the tape. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander does it so much more than anyone else. So much more. It was broken down in an article, I think, on Yahoo. And not only, like, you saw that play against the Lakers where I think it was Holmgren acted like he got hit in the face and he fell down or in the neck or something. It didn't get hit in the face at all. They reviewed it. Like, they're just cheaters. They're cheaters. They're no good, lousy cheaters. I'm glad they're out. Okay, wide receivers 10 through 18. Here we go. okay, 2024. This group stunk. Just in terms of ADP, this is not ADP, this is consensus rankings. But if we look at ADP from Fantasy Pros, PPR, wide receivers 10 through 18, obviously nine receivers, only three of them in 2024 finished in the top 20 overall. Four finished in the top 24 overall. Five of them finished wide receiver 38 or worse. On a per game basis, only four of the nine finished in the top 20. Five of them finished in the top 24. That year, Olave, Debo, Ayuk, Pittman, and Cooper Kupp were complete busts. Last year, it's a little more fresh on your brain. Here were the wide receivers that were 10 through 18 in PPR. A.J. Brown, he finished as wide receiver 12 per game. Ladd McConkey, he was a bust, wide receiver 38. T. Higgins finished as wide receiver 17 overall, 16 per game, so he was fine. Tyreek Hill, wide receiver 103 overall, 18th per game. JSN was wide receiver 2. Terry McLaurin was wide receiver 55 overall, 36 per game. Mike Evans was 76th overall, 41st per game. Garrett Wilson was 61st overall, 15th per game. And Devontae Adams was wide receiver 9. So you had Tyreek Hill, Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans, and Garrett Wilson being busts because they were injured. But six of the nine receivers in this group finished top 18 per game and were drafted as top 18 receivers. So I think this group was pretty horrible in 2024 and pretty solid in 2025, including JSN as a league winner. All right, with that said, I already asked you guys how you feel about Rashee Rice, T. Higgins, Chris Olave, A.J. Brown, Abuka, Zay Flowers, Devontae Smith, McMillan, and Neighbors. So let's put them in groups of three and break them down. Dave, Rashee Rice, T. Higgins, and Chris Olave. Do you consider Chris Olave to be not like the others, Rashee Rice, T. Higgins, Chris Olave?
He's behind Abuka too for me, but also T. Higgins and Rashee Rice. As of now, Rice is my favorite of the group. And Olave, I feel like I need to see it again. I don't think the situation is going to be the same. Love the offense. I'm a believer in Tyler Shuck. I think he can handle it. Can he handle two receivers plus to getting good numbers on a weekly basis? I don't know. I don't know if Olave's going to see the same type of target volume that he saw toward the end of last year, or maybe even overall last year, with a rookie like Jordan Tyson on the field in New Orleans.
Jamie, you were not apparently swayed by my Rashid Shaheed wasn't really that big of a factor argument on FFT Express. The target share was basically the same with and without Rashid Shaheed. But your concern is he wasn't as good when Rashid Shaheed was there, and now they have Jordan Tyson. So elaborate on why you think Chris Olave has some bust potential.
Well, Tyson obviously is a better prospect than Shaheed. Hopefully he performs better than Shaheed. But in the nine games with Rashid Shaheed before he was traded, Olave averaged 14.1 PPR points. Now you could say Tyler Shough wasn't the quarterback for most of that. And then, you know, just taking hold of Kellen Moore's offense, it's a fair argument. And he averaged 20.2 PPR points after Shaheed was traded. So that's a pretty big leap in production, you know, 6 points per game. So can he be closer to that? Or will he be closer to the 14? And, you know, I'm going to guess he's probably somewhere in between if things go right. I'm just a little concerned that, you know, we're looking at a player who got significant competition. You know, the run game should be better, you know, with the addition of Etienne Achan, you know, Travis and what he brings. You know, they added another tight end, you know, that's going to be, I think, a little bit of a playmaker and a factor in Oscar Delp. But obviously, if Jordan Tyson is as advertised, you know, he could easily push for targets and take targets away from Olave, where he didn't have that problem after Shaheed was gone, because the rest of the receiving core was, for the most part, miserable. So yes, the target share was the same. So that's, you know, encouraging, but I still think you're looking at an offense that hopefully continues to evolve. You know, a lot of expectations on Tyler Shough, you know, so hopefully he lives up to them. But I think just looking at Olave and in this group, he definitely belongs in this group. He should be closer to the top than the bottom. I just think there should be a little bit cause for concern for what his career has been and for what he was able to produce last year when there was no competition on the field.
Well, let's talk about what his career has been, just to give some numbers here. Olave has played 15, 16, 8, and 16 games in his four-year career. And here's where he has finished per game in full PPR. And it's not that much different than non or half PPR. Rookie year, wide receiver 27 per game. Second season, wide receiver 21 per game. Third season was just horrible. I think it was wide receiver 55 or 58 per game. I said it a few minutes ago, but he was one of those busts in this range 2 years ago. And then last year, wide receiver 7 per game. In a down year for wide receivers, typically what he averaged last year would have been around wide receiver 10 per game, but still a phenomenal year for him. Heath, I look at that 2023 season, 87 catches, 1,123 yards, 5 touchdowns on 138 targets. I never know exactly what someone's floor is, but do you think it's fair to say that's probably around the floor for Olave, which was wide receiver 21 per game that year?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say if we're taking injury concern out of it. I mean, there is a chance that Jordan Tyson shows up and it's just like, oh, well.
Yeah.
By midseason, they have a 1A and a 1B, and we don't even know for sure who it is on a week-to-week basis. There's also a chance that Tyson, who's already missed some time this summer as they kind of manage a hamstring issue, it just isn't really that big of a factor. And if you look at Olave, I think Jamie said he averaged 20 fantasy points per game after Shaheed was gone, and it is like almost a perfect split with when Tyler Shough became the starter and when Rashid Shaheed left, but it was 18.8 fantasy points per game in eight games with Tyler Shough. I think the big thing is going to be where the touchdown spike last year, how much of that is sustainable. He had 10 touchdowns in his first three seasons in the league. He scored 9 last year.
Yeah.
But for a very good wide receiver, which we think he is, 9 touchdowns on 156 targets isn't crazy at all. He had a 5.8% touchdown rate. That's good. He's good. So if you're looking at like what's more statistically normal, it's the touchdown rate last year than the touchdown rate the first 3 years. And if he scores 8 or 9 touchdowns, I think he's going to have 80 catches and 1,100 yards.
He caught almost every touchdown from Tyler Shough because Olave was on pace for 13 touchdowns in 8 games with Shough. And Shough was only on pace for 19 touchdowns in those games. They just had a great connection. He got a lot more end zone targets than he ever had. He caught 4 touchdowns on deep balls, which was rare for him. All right, so that's Olave. And then let me bring something up with Higgins. I mean, he just seems like I said earlier, when he's on the field with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, he's a top 15 wide receiver on a per game basis every year. except for 2023, which was just a miserable year for the Bengals offense. But there have only been two wide receivers over the last 4 years that have finished top 16 per game in PPR with a target per out run rate below 22%. And T. Higgins is both of them. His targets last year, I mean, like, what was his 17-game pace last year? It was less than 1,000 yards. I think it was something like 110 targets. I can look it up. But his 17-game pace was 111 targets, 959 yards, 13 touchdowns. He had a target per out run rate. I think it was 18.4% or something like that. That's really, really low. The year before that, it was 24%, and he was a top five receiver per game, but that is the big outlier for him. So I just want to bring it up that Higgins feels super safe because he does it every year. If he gets a target per out run rate, Dave, in the 18% range, he's on pace for 111 targets. He might actually be a bust, right? I mean,
especially if the touchdown rate goes down. I think when you're drafting T. Higgins, you're counting on him to score a boatload of touchdowns. And I think you cannot rule that out, given the offense, given the quarterback, given his role. I feel kind of good about T. Higgins. I'm not in the projections game. Heath is. I don't know how many touchdowns he's projected for T. Higgins, but I know to expect a lot of points from the Bengals offense. And if they're going to score a lot of points, their top two pass catchers are going to come up with a lot of them. And so he had 11 last year. That's kind of crazy, but it wouldn't surprise me if he matched that number this year. You're drafting him for the tutties.
I've got him projected for 9.3, which is the second highest in this group behind only Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And then obviously if Jamar Chase gets hurt, there's big upside.
Oh gosh,
but,
yes.
But even if he just gets the targets up to like 125 or something, you could have a huge year from Higgins. But it's weird that I feel like he's going late. Let me look at the ADP. I feel like Higgins is not getting quite the respect. Like, he doesn't feel as exciting as some of these younger receivers who could take a step, like Devontae Smith without A.J. Brown and Tedrell McMillan. Devontae Smith's not that young. But I guess guys who maybe you could project more upside for than T. Higgins?
He tends to fall in drafts. I think, you know, you look at it and say, okay, what am I drafting? Am I drafting a guy who's just going to score a bunch of touchdowns, or am I drafting a guy that could hopefully take a step forward? And I think we've kind of made the argument for him over the years of, well, what happens if Jamar Chase misses time? Well, you know, that's very rare that Jamar Chase misses time. You know, yeah. It's happened a couple of times, but not over a full season. Hopefully it doesn't happen this year. So I think when you look at T. Higgins, like, you kind of just know what you're buying. You know, you're buying like a discounted George Pickens, you know, the second best receiver on his team, but not maybe the same heights that Pickens can get to, as we saw last year. I think just that's why I think Higgins is safe. You know, he gives you the opportunity to score 10 plus touchdowns. He's done that now in back-to-back seasons. He's on a team that's still, I think, going to throw the ball a lot. He has one of the best passing quarterbacks in the NFL. And so there's a lot to love about his situation, but you're just going to have to understand there's going to be weeks when he does not score that you're going to be a little frustrated.
But it's interesting to see, like, would you take Emeka Buka, who had 5 good games in his career, over this proven commodity T. Higgins? Would you take Zay Flowers, because Zay Flowers is slightly ahead of Higgins in Fantasy Pros ADP. Like, those two guys in particular, would you take Higgins or Flowers or Abuka? Who's your favorite there?
It probably depends on how you started your team and what you're looking for. For me, I have Higgins ranked higher just because I think he's, again, safer. But the upside certainly favors the other two if they hit.
I'll go Flowers, Higgins, Abuka.
I've got the exact opposite order.
Abuka, Higgins, Flowers. Okay. Someone asked what he's done when Joe Burrow has played a full season. Joe Burrow, 3 years playing 16 or 17 games, 2021, 2022, and 2024. In 2021, Higgins averaged 15.7 points per game. In 2024, he averaged 18.7 points per game. You'd obviously take either of those in the third round. 2022, he averaged only 13.7 points per game, but he left 3 games very early to kill his per game averages. And that does happen with T. Higgins. All right, next group of three is A.J. Brown, Emeka Abuka, and Zay Flowers. A.J. Brown, Emeka Abuka, Zay Flowers. Jamie, how do you rank those three?
Right now, currently, it's Brown, Abuka, Flowers.
Dave?
A.J., Emeka, Zay.
Heath, now you have to do their middle names.
I don't know those, but I do have the opposite order, so I'm doing my job there. Zay, Abuka, AJ.
Wow. Okay. Things just got interesting. I know you're kind of down on the Bucks offense comparatively. But let's talk about your why you hate, completely hate, despise AJ Brown and Emeka Buka, which is what you just said.
I think, and I was just writing the Tampa Bay player outlooks this morning. So it's kind of fresh on my mind. I think just the completely opposite halves of season that Ibuka and Baker Mayfield and this offense had last year is a little bit concerning. I worry about Baker Mayfield's accuracy bouncing back. I worry about another new offensive system and just how pass heavy it's going to be. And I think he has, I mean, obvious top 10 upside. But if somebody from this group, I think, finishes outside of the top 20 and there's no real reason for it, I think it would probably be Ibuka.
Okay, this group again is A.J. Brown, Emeka Ibuka, and Zay Flowers. What's your issue with A.J. Brown?
He was not quite the same guy last year. And I don't blame all of that on Jalen Hurts because I'm the Jalen Hurts defender. I don't think that New England's going to be, I'm assuming he's in New England. I don't think New England's going to be a pass heavy offense. I think it's still probably one of the teams that runs as in the top 10 in terms of run plays next year. And I'm not entirely convinced that they're just going to throw it 10 times per game to AJ Brown.
There's Patriots threw for 4,426 yards and 31 touchdowns last year. That's better than any season the Eagles have had in the last 4 years.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know, Heath, you don't think Drake May will be as efficient as he was.
I don't think he will average 9 yards per pass attempt again, no.
I guess I've made the argument. I'll make it again. I'm sure I'll make it again tonight when there's a bonus podcast. They're going to lose more games, I think, this year. They have a tougher schedule. I think they're going to have to throw a little bit more. Plus, they didn't have A.J. Brown last year. So it just... Shouldn't they throw more if they have AJ Brown?
Oh, I think they will probably throw more. Drake May only threw 492 passes last year.
Right.
So they were about 70 below league median.
I just wonder if this is finally the year. He's been on the Titans and the Eagles in his career. Mm-hmm. Is this the year that he's finally unleashed? I mean, I feel like AJ Brown could be a top three wide receiver.
Well, I don't think that's real. Like, he had 158 targets in 2023. We can say he wasn't unleashed in Philadelphia.
Okay.
He had a 1,450 yard season.
But only threw 25 touchdowns. He had a
1,496 yard season.
But the fact that Jalen Hurts was running for double digit touchdowns every year and they only threw 24, they threw 24 to 26 touchdowns all 4 years in Philadelphia. So, obviously, I'm not saying Hurts was bad for A.J. Brown. He gave him some terrific years. But he could have been even better if he threw the ball more instead of running it in the end zone.
Well, this is, on paper, probably the best passing quarterback he's going to play with.
Thank you for summing up my thoughts in one clear, concise sentence. Thank you.
And that's not a knock on Jalen Hurts. I just think that Drake may be a better passer. You know, so
yes.
And it remains to be seen. I mean, he's obviously still very young in his career, but... I think you're making this move, if they're making this move, and probably giving up the compensation, whether it's a first-round pick or multiple twos, however this is going to unfold, and signing Romeo Doubs. Like, clearly they realized their passing game was not as good as it could be last year. And so does that change how things look from an offensive standpoint? Plus, you factor in, like you said, more competitive schedule, probably more opportunities to throw the ball. You're still looking at a backfield that I think has some questions. You know, Ramondre was really good last year, but is he a true lead running back? Is Trevion Henderson that guy? You know, so I would expect more of a 50-50 split, if not maybe a little bit more leaning toward more pass heavy, you know, to what degree we'll find out. So I think this is just the evolution of what you do when you have these young quarterbacks, is you build around them and then you try to add a piece of significance, and AJ Brown is that piece. And so does that make things better for him? That's what I'm counting on. You know, I think, again, yes, he didn't have a great season last year. There was a stretch where he was still a very dominant fantasy option and a very solid wide receiver. You know, it wasn't what we're used to seeing, because we're used to seeing more of it. And when he was bad, he was really bad. But I think if you look at it and say, okay, can he still be that guy? He's still under 30. You know, he's getting closer to the end of his prime, but he's still in it right now, at least. And you have to hope that if he was unmotivated last year and all the things that unfolded, he's got to be hopefully as motivated as he's been, you know, certainly when he went to Philadelphia at that time. Again, younger receiver. He was, you know, clearly joining a friend of his, and that friendship has fallen apart, which I'm sure factored into all of this as well. The offensive coordinator is better than what he had last year. I think that's easy to say. And so, you know, he's looking at, I think, I don't know how long of a run this is, but I think for 2026, AJ Brown could still be, I don't know, top three, Adam, but I think he could still push to be top 10.
All right, I'm going to take a break. By the way, AJ Brown averaged 18.6 PPR fantasy points per game, which is phenomenal in his last seven games when he was on pace for 163 targets. One more, I'll just bring up one more thing with these guys when we come back after this quick break on Fantasy Football Today. So with Brown and Ibuka, you know, AJ Brown had a preseason, was it a hamstring? I think it was a hamstring injury in the preseason. I just saw an article August 25th where he was the practice with a hamstring injury and people thought he was hurt. And then Ibuka, I'm just going to read directly from ESPN. ESPN wrote, a week six hamstring injuries for Emeka Ibuka. A week six hamstring injury robbed him of his top speed. NFL Next Gen Stats tracking data had Ibuka with 11 routes of at least 18 miles per hour through the first 5 weeks of the season and 11 such routes in the remaining 12 weeks after the hamstring injury. So just something to keep in mind. That's exactly when the downturn started for Ibuka.
He was supposed to miss time, and then he was a surprise active. He didn't miss any games.
Yeah.
So he tried gutting through what turned out to be a pretty bad hamstring injury. The highlight from OTAs that everybody's oohing and aahing about, I think his speed looks pretty good in that play. That's just as impressive to me as catching a ball behind him and, you know, making the one-handed grab. I'm bullish on Ibuka. I'd still rather draft AJ Brown, but those two to me are like right in that low-end wide receiver one range on draft day.
Does anybody have anything else to say about Zay Flowers? We kind of overlooked him in this group of three.
Yeah, I think part of it is like I'm maybe more high on Flowers than low on the other two guys in terms of where they are in our consensus rankings. He comes out of, somebody in the chat said he's going to be a top 10 wide receiver this year. He actually comes out as wide receiver 10 in my projections. So I think he's awesome as a player. I'm hopeful for an uptick in passing attempts with the new offensive coordinator there. And I don't see anybody on that team that's going to challenge his 30% target share.
Okay.
Doyle does have a history of working with coaches who love tight ends. And Doyle himself is a former tight ends coach. And the Ravens have gotten rid of their fullback. So I'm expecting them to be one of many teams that see their personnel usage of two plus tight ends go way up. I don't know if that necessarily means a huge drop off, if any, in targets for Zay Flowers. And a 30% target share sounds great, but he's been at 6.9, 6.8 targets per game each of the last 2 years. And he's had flashes and certainly streaks of huge fantasy games and also terrible floors where he's getting 10, 11, maybe even less PPR points per game. I love the talent. I say it every time I talk about Zay Flowers. Love the talent. Wish he would get 8 targets per game. Wish he'd get used more in the red zone. He'd be awesome for fantasy if that would happen. It hasn't happened. And I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
Heath, what are your target projections for Flowers?
It's a career high. I know that. I've got him at 130.
Okay. Well,
over 17 games, 7.6 targets per game. That would be a career high.
Yeah. His career high, I think, is 118. And
you've talked about how he had basically the same number of targets the last 2 years, but 2 years ago they threw 55 more passes. So he earned a higher share of the targets last year. If we get 50 more passes, then it might be another 15 targets for him right there.
Yeah, that would put him over 7 per game easily.
On a per game basis, last year we actually had 4 wide receivers finish top 12 per game with 120 or fewer targets. That's in the 4 seasons before that, we had a combined 3. And last year we had 4. So it's hard. It had been very difficult to be a top 12 wide receiver per game with 120, technically it's 121 or fewer targets. Somebody did it with 121, so I counted him. To be top 12 per game with that target range. But 4 guys did it last year, including Flowers. All right, next group of 3. This is wide receivers 16, 17, and 18 in our consensus rankings. Devontae Smith, Tetero McMillan, Malik Nabers. Jamie, your thoughts on this group? How do you rank Devontae Smith, Tetero McMillan, Malik Nabers?
Smith, McMillan, Nabers.
Smith, McMillan, Nabers, just like that. Heath?
I've got it McMillan, Smith, Nabers, but McMillan and Smith are separated by 0.17 points in my season-long projections. So it's like they are tied. If I could just have those at the same ranking, that'd be perfect.
Dave?
McMillan, Smith, Gap, Nabers.
Do you have other people ranked ahead of Nabers?
Yes.
Who?
Olave, Waddle, Garrett Wilson, Zay Flowers.
Okay. So a little bit different than the consensus rankings. All right. So Nabers is last for everyone. And then Devontae Smith and Tetero McMillan appear to be very close. Heath, give me your thoughts on this group of three.
I think McMillan has, in my opinion, the least amount of upside currently, which is saying strange probably to put him first if that's the case. I think until AJ Brown's actually gone, McMillan probably has the safest floor of this group. And if we get to the first day of training camp and Malik Nabers is a full participant, then he's not even, I'm not even sure if he's on this graphic anymore.
No, he won't be.
Oh, man. You think he'll be in the top 10?
I think so.
If he's not on the pup list to start training camp and he's out there almost every day with the Giants, that's, first of all, I'd be really surprised if that happened. But second of all, that would be a really good sign.
I guess so. But I just, after all of this, right, after a very, you know, serious knee injury with multiple ligaments, I can't remember exactly what the injury was. But it was meniscus. It was ACL and meniscus.
Yes.
With multiple surgeries.
Not his LPP?
Not his OPP.
His TLC.
Multiple surgeries. I don't know what to expect. I just can't sit here and expect Malik Nabers to be himself, even when he's quote unquote healthy and on the field. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, Brock Bowers didn't have surgery last year. He came back and he wasn't himself. So he was healthy. He was ready to play, but he was obviously hampered. I don't know, man. To me, if Malik Nabers gets drafted as a top 10 wide receiver, I think it would be a mistake.
No, you got to be pretty sold on him being his old self.
At this point, he won't be a top 10 receiver for me. So he might move up a couple spots, but he'll be in this range for this year.
What do you guys think, just based on what you've seen from, you know, the Giants offense and what they plan to be? Dave said the Ravens got rid of their fullback. Well, he went to the Giants. They drafted an interior offensive lineman in the, you know, top the 10th overall pick. And they've said repeatedly they want to run the football. So let's just say Malik Nabers were healthy. The health wasn't a concern. What kind of year do you think he would have, Dave? Do you think he'd be able to get a lot of targets and be an awesome fantasy producer in this offense?
I think he'd be around 7.5 to 8 targets per game if he's his old self. There's no question.
I'm sorry. If he was healthy, so like the injury never happened?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Well, if the injury never happened, then we're talking about a top 5 overall pick.
Right.
Because most of those guys are getting, you know, close to 10 targets a game. You think that's on the table?
If he had stayed healthy, he would have been fantastic last year or close to it. And then you're talking about coming off that year with what Jackson Dart did, like the expectations would have been unrealistic.
Yeah, if he was completely healthy, I would expect him to get 9 targets a game.
Okay.
I wouldn't. I think it goes down. I did a whole dive on every single new play caller in the league. And I think the biggest influence on Matt Nagy is going to end up being John Harbaugh. This is from the story I wrote. You'll see it on CBSSports.com in the next week. In 18 seasons, the Ravens were above a 60% pass rate 3 times, between 56 and 59% 3 other times. So that means that there were 6 out of 18 seasons where they were throwing the ball 56%+ of the time. Seems pretty low. The Giants last year with Jackson Dart threw the ball 51.4% of his plays.
Yes.
John Harbaugh does not want to turn into a crazy high volume passing offense, even if he's got Malik Nabers there. He's going to ask Matt Nagy to call a lot of runs. Maybe that changes if Scadaboo gets hurt early on in the year. Tyrone Tracy is totally ineffective. Yeah, of course, then they're going to have to start to throw a little bit more. But even if the injury had never happened, I would expect at least a small downturn in target volume for Malik Nabers. And now that he might not be, who the hell knows how he's going to be by the time we get to August 1st. But if he's not practicing and he's not himself, he might average 6 targets per game all year.
Well, I did want to get your thoughts on that because I know it's hypothetical and all, but I wanted to point out that the Giants want to go in a different direction offensively if they can pull it off. Their lead running back is coming off a serious injury too. And also that Jackson Dart didn't really throw that much because he ran the ball so much. Right? I don't remember, it was 28-ish pass attempts per game, something like that in his starts. Not a lot. All right, but the other guys, Devontae Smith and Terrell McMillan. Jamie, what, if anything, separates Smith for you from McMillan?
I mean, the hope would be is that if A.J. Brown does get traded, which is the expectation, that the rest of the receiving core, including a guy that they drafted at 20th overall, is nowhere near A.J. Brown. So, you know, Mekhi Lemon, Dontavian Wicks, Marquise Brown, you know, there's one more guy in there. You know, that they just make Devontae Smith the number one receiver. And that's what they've been saying. You know, at least the reports out of Philadelphia have been, they viewed Devontae Smith as a number one receiver. He takes that step forward. He's been 14.2 PPR points or more in the 3 games that AJ Brown has missed during their time together. That's such a small sample size, but you know, it's 14.2, 14.7, like 21 something, you know, so he has the chance to be amazing. And in all 3 of those games, it was 9 targets or more. So we're looking at a guy that hopefully will get fed. That being said, you know, it's a matter of how high you want to have him. You know, I've seen some of the comments in the chat. Devontae Smith should be where A.J. Brown is. Devontae Smith should be, you know, where T. Higgins is. You know, so I think a lot of people are excited about the situation. And again, they should be. But now you're putting in a high-profile rookie. You're bringing in some veteran guys that they really didn't lean on really anybody in the past. It was just really concentrated to the 3 main pass-catching options of the 2 receivers and the tight end. They have a second tight end now. You know, I think the new coordinator will throw the ball a little bit more to Saquon Barkley and Sean Mannion. So, you know, that's something I think that could help Barkley as well. I just think you're looking at Devontae Smith and the runway is pretty clear. So hopefully that's the case for him going into the season.
Dave, your thoughts on Devontae Smith versus Terrell McMillan?
I want to believe it with Devontae Smith and Terrell McMillan. I think it might be easier to actually buy into Devontae Smith because we've seen him in the small sample size without A.J. Brown. And frankly, in games when Brown's played and Dallas Goedert's been out, that Devontae Smith sees an uptick in targets and he does usually really well with them. And that gets me excited about what he could end up being in Philly's offense. I think they're going to be coordinated much better. That's not saying much. They were terrible last year. But I think Sean Mannion is one of these wonderkind type of play callers. He's only been coaching in the NFL. This is his 3rd season, I think, coaching in the National Football League, and he's already an offensive coordinator. I think it's going to be a sharper offense. Certainly, you know, West Coast timing based. Devontae Smith knows he's got to be on this spot of the field in this many seconds, turning around, balls out, and it's there, and he has to make a play after the catch. And I think he can pull that off. So I'm kind of excited about Smith in that regard. With McMillan, you're just hoping that he gets not just more targets, but just does more with them. Last year, he had a bunch of games where he had at least 7 targets. He had 10 games with 7-plus targets. He had 15-plus PPR in 4 of the 10. So I'm hoping that he takes a second-year jump. I'm not really discouraged by anything that the Panthers did with their passing game. And I'm still not sure that the Panthers' running game is going to be where Carolina wants it to be. This could be a situation where they don't want to be a throwing team, but they might have to be, and that would obviously benefit McMillan. He could probably have a lot of games this year with 8-plus targets.
And Heath, McMillan versus Smith, you said you have him almost exactly even in your projections.
I think they pretty much covered it. I just don't have much hope that Bryce Young is going to be good enough to make Terrell McMillan a top 12. Maybe he could be a top 12 wide receiver if it's like last year was. But right. I think Smith has more upside and just a little more downside because we haven't seen him in this role recently.
Okay.
I think the thing for McMillan is like, if he does what he did a year ago, you'll be happy about it.
He had some good, I know Dave said, you know, he has to do more with the targets, but I think some of his production was just boosted. He had a 33-point game against the Falcons in week 11. Other than that, he scored 16 or more points in five total games out of 17. So
I mean, this is like the greatest division. You get Pitts against the Bucks and he just goes nuts. You get McMillan against the Falcons, he goes nuts. Like
it felt like a really frustrating season where most weeks he was disappointing. But at the end of the day, he had 1,000 yards as a rookie. He was 26th out of 78 wide receivers with 50 or more targets. Tedrell McMillan was 26th in yards per route run, 18th in yards per catch, 28th in yards per target, only 30th in target per out run rate, but that's not terrible. He did have a lot of drops, though, 6.7% drop rate, so he's got to clean that up. But I think a pretty encouraging season. If you go game by game, it's not that good for McMillan, but just look at the overall numbers. Finishing as wide receiver 23 per game, granted in a down year for receivers, was really good for him.
I mean, again, you hope year two is better. You know, typically rookies, you've highlighted this forever, typically rookies that produce like this tend to get better. And he obviously was a high-profile draft pick. So it really comes down to, do you buy into Bryce Young? Do you buy into this offense? And I think that's what, for me, holds me back a little bit with McMillan, is that you're looking at a quarterback, he's said it, that I don't think is going to elevate him to the heights of being a top 10 guy, at least right now. So if you just, I think, draft him accordingly – as a mid-tier wide receiver, that's fine. Does he have the ability to get better? Sure, he can be a 9 to 10 touchdown guy. It wouldn't shock me. They also added another receiver that's getting some buzz. You know, for what it's worth, Xavier Leggett lost weight. You know, trying to, I think, save whatever he can of his, you know, disappointing first two seasons of his career. I think Jalen Coker healthy for a full season will matter too. And then we'll see what this backfield looks like, which may be a plus for McMillan if they can't run the ball to the same level of success that they had last year. So I think McMillan is, to me, appropriately priced. You know, somewhere in the late teens is where I would be looking to target him. I probably would not take him until round four, but I just think there's more upside, like Heath said, for Devontae Smith, as we kind of illustrated.
Okay, I'm going to read a few chat comments to end the show. From Wisco Disco, are most of CBS rankings assuming AJ Brown is traded, or will some of you move Devontae Smith up even more once the trade happens?
Mine assume AJ Brown is traded.
Agreed.
Same.
Okay.
By the way, you missed Wisco Disco 97's best comment in the chat, because Johnny Airport said if the Knicks win, I think he said the Knicks win, you have to go clubbing with him for 24 hours straight. And Wisco Disco said, Johnny would not have enough hand sanitizer to take with him or something along those lines.
If the Knicks win, I have to go clubbing? I'd say if the Spurs win, I have to go clubbing. There's not many things I'd like to do less than go clubbing for even 1 hour. Gosh, 24, my goodness. Johnny Airport wants to know if we should expect Zay Flowers numbers from Malik Nabers, and that would be from last year, 86 catches, 1,200 yards, 5 touchdowns on 118 targets. I have no idea who knows what to expect, but 1200 yards. You think he'd hit that if he played 17 games, Malik Nabers?
I think we're going to see two seasons from Malik Nabers, a struggling beginning till he gets his legs underneath him and see what this offense looks like. And then a strong finish.
And then Johnny also says, if you're worried about Tedrell McMillan because of Bryce, then Justin Jefferson should scare you even more, I guess, because of Kyler.
I have Malik Nabers projected for almost exactly the same fantasy points per game as Zay Flowers last year.
Oh, so, about that.
There you go.
You worried about Justin Jefferson with Kyler?
I mean, a little.
There are some concerns, yeah.
Yeah.
They're small concerns.
I like that. Good. Nice pun to end the show. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Johnny says, I had a feeling that Adam hates clubs and social settings in general.
I will give you that idea.
I like social settings. Of course I hate clubs, but I like social settings, preferably involving food, you know, like a dinner. I like a dinner. What would your ideal night out with your friends be? What would you do?
Like just guy friends?
Yeah. While you think about it, mine would be poker and pizza. Like play some poker, order pizza, watch the game.
It'd probably be a game thing. I was thinking like sitting at home waiting for Adam to call me and invite me to the thing that Dave and Jamie have already gone to.
That event, Heath, by the way, is a help Adam with his player outlooks party.
Yeah,
I'll call you for that.
He called me and like he gave me some like fake question that he really didn't want to ask, and then it was, he goes, I have two questions for you, and the first question was like so stupid, then the second one was like, so how do I write these player outlooks?
No, I said like how do I know who to write about?
Didn't you do it last year?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Huh. You're an expert.
They were great. I got a lot of great reviews on them.
Lots of positive feedback on those.
All right. Well, Heath and Dave, and if you guys have a night out that you like to plan with your guy friends, Dave would go to the casino.
Stakes, sports, casino.
I'm more of a night in kind of guy.
Yeah.
Halloween.
I guess it'd be, like a house party with the porch light turned off. Sitting on the back patio with a fire going, some meat on the smoker.
Okay, I'd come to that if I got invited.
You would not.
Yeah. I wouldn't come or I would not get invited.
Yeah, wait, what's the flip side of this? Has Heath ever invited Dave, Adam anywhere?
No.
Yes.
Where?
Wynwood Brewing.
I mean, I feel like
an actual event that I scheduled and invited you to.
And I came. I went.
You did. You
and
did.
I drank a little.
You did.
A tiny bit.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a sip. A few.
He has a few sips. Yeah.
Called a flight, by the way, when you get all that beer in those little glasses. Called a flight. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for watching and listening. By the way, 4 shows a week now. We're in June. So we'll talk to you either tomorrow or when AJ Brown gets traded, whatever happens first. See you later.
Paramount Podcasts.